Hello and welcome to Bondcast, our podcast series where we discuss the latest themes and events shaping rates markets. I'm Joanne Spadigan, European rate strategist, and I'm joined today by Kevin Cummins, our US economist. So let's dive straight into it. We've had a fairly busy week this week with both data and central bank speakers. So let's start with the US. So data this week have lent support to the case that the economy is still growing at an above trend pace in the US for 2024. And interest rate expectations have also moved to signal possibly less rate cuts than the Fed has signaled via their own median dots. And also further from our own view of five cuts from as well as the Fed's three cuts that they have. So what do you think this means overall for our forecasts? And do you think that the Fed will actually deliver the amount of cuts that we've gotten for our own forecast this year?
Well, thanks for having me. And, you know, I mean, I think this year, this week, like you said, we saw a little bit stronger than expected data on balance. It really started last Friday when we got the personal income and spending report, despite it being a holiday in the bond market. The BEA released the personal income and spending data, and you know, everybody was really on edge about the core PCE price data. It really didn't surprise relative to expectations. It matched up 0.3% on the month. So nothing to report new there. But what was stronger was consumption spending for February. Came in well above expectations, signaling that the economy has more resilience at the start of this year. So, you know, in against that sort of backdrop, I think the Fed, we heard from a slew of officials this week. I think it was up to like 14 Fed officials that spoke, including the chair yesterday. And we can talk more about that in a minute or so. But, you know, I think it's allowing them some time here and allowing them to be patient because of the resilience in the economy so far this year. You know, our own forecast has stagnant growth in the back half of this year. So we're still a little bit more pessimistic on the outlook. And admittedly, inflation did perk up at the start of this year. So there's some uncertainty whether or not that's an unwind of the softness that we saw throughout much of last year and whether or not the direction on inflation is going to resume its earlier downtrend or not. So they're all good questions. And, you know, obviously time will tell, but our view still remains that the Fed is going to be cutting rates this year. And we have the first cut coming in June. We're pretty optimistic on the inflation outlook. So we think that the Fed currently is very restrictive and they're going to want to move back to a more normal level of interest rates. So we have, as you mentioned, five cuts this year beginning in June relative to the Fed's three cuts. And now the market is even expecting less than and scaled back their expectations for rate cuts this year, that people are questioning whether or not the Fed will actually be able to deliver any cuts this year. So, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty, but in our view, there's a lot of time here between now and what we expect to be the first cut in June. Admittedly, January and February inflation data surprised to the upside. But we do think it was more seasonality and that we're going to see better numbers soon. Next week, we'll get the core CPI data. Our expectation is a little bit below consensus on the core. We only have it up 0.2, consensus is 0.3. If you want to kind of go out a few decimals, we're a pretty high 0.2. So we're not probably that far away from consensus. But I do think that we're going to see an earlier resumption in the next couple of months, that the Fed's going to feel confident enough that they can start dialing back their restrictiveness. They'll have at the June meeting three CPI reports that we don't have right now. So expectations, I would imagine, will probably oscillate leading up to those CPI reports.
Great, thanks. We also, as you had said, heard from Powell this week. Any key takeaways from there, or has that changed the message very much?
Yeah, well, I mean, he definitely has towed the line here that, you know, in at the March FOMC meeting, the big debate was whether or not they were going to dial back their expectations to only show two cuts relative to what they showed in December of three cuts for this year. They stayed with those three cuts, but barely so. It only took a couple of officials really to change their expectations. But they did start to drift a little higher relative to the, you know, dovish dot plot from December, which was a pivot to a more balanced assessment of risk. And ultimately, they changed the balance of risk in the policy statement in January. And right now, you know, they're kind of erring on the side of caution because of the resilience that we talked about in the economy here in the U.S. You know, it appears that growth, as you mentioned, is rising at above trend pace. So as long as the economy isn't showing signs of collapsing, the Fed can really be patient here. And it seems like they want to get probably two, maybe even three inflation numbers before they begin some sort of rate cutting cycle. So, you know, I think we'll get a meeting in May. There is very low expectations as far as anything on the policy rate. Presumably, we're going to get more information on QT and scaling that back. But, you know, I think the debate going forward will be, do they cut in June, maybe July or September? I think the base case at the Fed, which the median is three cuts, and it sounds like the chair is on board with that median, despite there being some divergence of views amongst the committee of all 19 members, I think, you know, the base case is that they probably want to start well ahead of the election. So they are, you know, pretty clear on this path of lower rates. And, you know, the data have been pretty solid to start the year, but there are some mixed data. Even this week, we had jobless claims earlier today creeping up a little bit. We saw their services ISM, in contrast to the strength that we saw in the factory, surprising strength that we saw in the factory ISM on Monday, that services number edged down, although the details were a little bit more mixed. But I do think that, you know, the Fed is at this potential turning point here that they want to really carefully evaluate on a data-dependent approach to policy. So, you know, I think that that Powell this week kind of reinforced the view that the recent data on inflation is certainly unwelcome, but, you know, it's not definitive, and we're going to need to see a couple more reports before we probably start cutting rates. And I think it's largely a reiteration of what he said at his March FOMC press conference. And it seems like amongst most of the committee, that's very much a consistent message from the Fed, that they really haven't given out to dial that expectation back that rate cuts aren't going to begin until the second half of this year, despite the pretty positive start to the year.
And of course, we're recording Bondcast on Thursday ahead of the NFP report on Friday. So, Kevin, what are your expectations then? Do you think that could have a bearing at all on the Fed's path?
Yeah, I mean, we're not too different than consensus here for Friday's employment report. We have overall payrolls rising at a 200,000 clip. I think the Bloomberg consensus is right around 210, 215 or so thousand. So it's not dramatically different than that. We have the unemployment rate coming down after a surprising 2/10 jump in February. We have it coming back on an unrounded basis that barely rounded up to 3.9. So we have it coming back to 3.8. And then we have a bit of a reacceleration in average hourly earnings on the wage side of 0.3 after only a 0.1. Although the year-on-year pace presumably will slow. Even if that, you know, all else being equal to earlier months. But, you know, revisions will be important with payrolls. February payrolls were up 275,000 as reported now. But there was a massive downward revision to December and January. So, you know, net, it probably wasn't all that much different than expectations heading into that February report. We'll see if there's big downward revisions this time around. There was a very low response rate to the December and January numbers in the survey. So it's not terribly surprising that we saw a massive revision like that. The response rate for February wasn't out of the ordinary. So for what that's worth, maybe we won't see that big of a revision, but we'll see. I think the labor market still seems to be pretty solid right now. And, you know, it certainly lends support to the idea that the Fed can be patient for the time being with getting the timing right here on policy to make sure that inflation is back down to their, or at least moving back towards their 2% objective. If we get anything close to expectations, I think it really probably doesn't change the calculus very much on the timing of the Fed. It's going to be really in the near term, policy is going to be very much driven by the inflation data. And that was something that Powell said at his March FOMC press conference when asked, you know, if you got a really strong employment report, is the hurdle higher for them to cut rates? And, you know, Powell kind of moved away from where he was this time last year, saying that they need to see further moderation in job growth to be confident enough to inflation move down. I mean, inflation really surprised to the downside to Fed officials' estimates last year. And it seems like they're really buying into this, that you can have inflation slowing despite a pretty tight labor market, because there, it could be that productivity has picked up. You know, the immigration reports that were out have been very positive, that you're maybe able to grow stronger in the economy without inflation beginning to reaccelerate. So Powell made it pretty clear that if we did get a stronger labor market than expected, that's not going to get in the way of them from cutting rates as long as inflation is going back down to their 2% objective. So, you know, a downside surprise in Friday's report, I think, will only add to the evidence that they're going to get going potentially as early as June. And you could see, you know, interest rate markets and markets more broadly emboldening the idea of the Fed's forecast of three cuts this year relative to what the market participants are expecting, probably less than three cuts now in the wake of the, you know, better than expected start to the year. So, you know, a lot, you know, time will tell, but our expectation is that eventually the inflation data will move back down towards that 2% objective, that it'll allow the Fed to cut rates beginning in June. And if it is delayed, I still think that there's plenty of time between now and the end of the year that they can still get a decent amount of rate cuts in by the end of the year. Now, that would raise questions about our forecast for five rate cuts if they didn't go in June, but, you know, we'll have to see how the data evolve. But I think certainly the expectation is if the economy does show more signs of weakening in the back half of the year, you know, I don't see the Fed, you know, being slow to cutting at a 25 gradual pace at every meeting relative to what people expect now of barely able to cut rates. Maybe we can, you know, there's been some European inflation data this week that we could start to touch on. And just wondering, how do they compare to expectations and your thoughts on those reports?
Yeah, so the European inflation reports this week were a bit softer than expected. I think that to some extent, the euro area print, which came in at 2.4% versus expectations of 2.5%, were essentially a non-event just because we had Germany, France, and Italy's print surprising on the downside before the euro area print did come out. But I think that the broad news is that the inflationary picture in Europe is looking fairly positive, and I think is broadly in line with the ECB's forecasts and expectations. So it seems to us that the path for inflation normalizing and therefore the ECB cutting in June does remain intact. The other positive news as well that we've had this week is that actually the final PMIs were revised upwards in the euro area as well. So both services and manufacturing sectors are now above 50 and no longer in recessionary territory. So I think that, again, bodes well with this idea that, you know, inflation is normalizing, growth is improving, but obviously still a bit stagnant. But overall, the picture is fairly strong for a cut to come this year based on the inflation data in the euro area. The ECB, of course, marked to market their inflation forecast in the March meeting as well. So I think this seems to be going fairly well and according to plan for now, which is positive news in the euro, I think.
Okay, yeah. And next week's meeting in particular, as far as what we can expect that in the wake of this inflation data, is there much change or anything with regard to that? Or how does that change next week's meeting at all?
So I think it's been pretty interesting. We've been having a few discussions on, firstly, does the euro inflation print coming in soft this time around actually mean that the ECB could cut next week? And secondly, questions on the size of the first cut. I think in terms of an April cut, we see that as pretty unlikely. I think the market is pricing in something like 2 basis points in terms of a cut for next week. And I think that seems pretty fair at this point. There's obviously some risk and that should be included in market pricing. I think that given that the data is coming in line with the ECB's expectation, even though slightly softer in March, I don't necessarily think that means that shifts the needle too much on the June cut, which is what they've very, very strongly suggested for most of this year. So I think it would be a bit of a strange move for them to change their mind so quickly and decide to cut in April versus June. I also think what's interesting is that there's obviously in the ECB minutes that came out today as well, there was this idea that the inflation path could be a bit bumpy after the summer, even though inflation does return to target. So I do think that they will want to wait for further inflation data before making the decision. They did say, you know, some data is available by April, but there will be more data available by June. So 2 more inflation data prints, as well as wage inflation data as well. So June really does seem to be the most optimal time for cuts still. I think for April's inflation data, for example, we should see that coming down as well, just because we've had some of the Easter effects filtering into the March data. So possibly was a bit higher than expected, or a bit higher because of that Easter effect, not higher than expected. So I do think that the April inflation print will likely also be a positive step in the right direction. But I think the overall narrative and the overall need for risk management at this stage does mean that June will continue to be when the first cut will come and not at April, April's meeting next week. I think on the size of the cut, it's a pretty interesting debate. I think, you know, we were at the start of the year saying that the likelihood of a larger cut in the first instance is possible, just because we did feel like, given what we saw in the March inflation data and forecast by the ECB, it does very much seem that the ECB already expects inflation to be at target in the medium term. So that really brings the question of, why would you not cut rates if you believe in your forecast? And I mean, risk management is one of the reasons why. But that did mean that we thought the first cut could be a larger 50 basis point cut. But I think what keeps us, or might keep the ECB a bit more cautious, is just, at least for now, is this uncertainty about the Fed, which you touched a little bit upon, Kevin. But I think obviously there's a lot of time and a lot of data to come between now and June. But with markets at this point a bit unsure about the reaction function of the Fed or how many cuts are coming in, whether the ECB will be the first mover or not, I think it becomes a bit difficult to price in or to expect more than a 25 basis point cut from the ECB at the June meeting at this point, even though, you know, if inflation data, for example, starts to fall off a cliff in the euro area, maybe then that topic gets revisited. But I think slow and steady should be the mantra for now at the ECB. So a 25 basis point cut is probably a bit more likely at this point than a 50 basis point cut in June. But yeah, I think next week's meeting will be interesting just to observe how dovish they are, particularly in light of the data we've got this week.
There was some expectation, even in our own, and we altered our forecast a few months back to signal only 25 basis points. And largely because the economy was starting off the year as solid as it was, that, you know, the economy didn't seem to be collapsing. Inflation the last couple of months picked up a little bit. So, you know, in the U.S. here, too, I don't think there's really much of scope for them being surprising to the upside with regard to that, just because the data really don't warrant it here in the U.S. either. So that seems like it's more than, you know, just here in the U.S., but also in the euro area as well.
Great. I mean, great discussion. Thank you very much for joining us today, Kevin. Thank you all to our listeners for listening in. If you liked today's episode, please don't forget to like this or to subscribe to our channel so that you can listen to this podcast regularly. Thanks, everyone, and see you next week.